My first response is, I don't know.
That's what I want to do and make a belt buckle out of it or some boots.
Hey, nice.
Woohoo! I haven't been fired.
I made it through.
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation flowing over a nice bottle of wine. Good afternoon, KG. How are you, man?
I'm good, Paul. And you?
Very well, very well. I'm very excited today. I'm also rather nervous.
Why is that, Paul?
Oh, I feel like I'm in the presence of royalty today.
Yeah, yeah, I know, the same. When we got connected, I thought, oh, okay, this is big now. This is the biggest that we've probably ever had.
So. Possibly, yeah. But don't tell our previous guests that, I think you might be right. Before we reveal the identity of our special guest.
Yes, because we like to keep it secret. That's
right.
What we do.
We do. Let us open a bottle of wine.
All right. And what do you have for us today, Paul? And let me ask this.
Yes.
Is this from your personal stash or is this from some other opportunity?
No, it is from my personal stash.
Nice.
However, it's a recently procured one.
Okay.
And I've been very curious about what it was like. So I thought, let's pull it out. Let's see what happens.
I like that. I think it looks expensive. But
I don't think it is. Not everything good is expensive.
Okay, let's see.
It's a Bleasdale, second innings Malbec. It's from South Australia, Langhorne Creek. I've never had it before, but I am a big Malbec fan.
Very cool.
I find Malbec to have that nice body without being too tannic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just rests on the tongue, as they say. So shall we crack it open?
We shall. I can't wait. Oh, listen to that crack. It's just like a cork pop, but better, I think.
That's right. I'm pouring mine first. I'm sorry. That's very rude of me.
It's not rude. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Now, our guest clearly cannot partake of this. What we do want to do is raise a glass to his health and that of his family.
Yes. And that is very much necessary. So,
shall we introduce our guest now?
I think we can.
Okay.
Because, you know, since we're raising a glass, we
might
as well.
Okay, so everybody, our special guest today is Oscar Trimboli, podcaster extraordinaire from the Apple Award-winning podcast Deep Listening, also an author and a highly sought-after keynote speaker. Oscar Trimboli, welcome and to health. Slange to you.
L'chaim.
Ah, yes. And I see he's raising his own glass. It's water, but.
Well, just like I expected. Nice body.
Yes, yes.
Just fruity, not too tannic, very easy to drink.
Your curiosity was rewarded because I think you did well.
Thank you. Bleasdale, second innings Malbec. And listeners, as you know, we can't be held responsible for anything we say after the first 20 minutes.
No, not at all.
Shall we get on with the show?
I think so.
Excellent.
This is the opportunity of a lifetime because as talkers, because this is what we do on it,
we just kind of ramble on
and talk.
Yeah, that's how we defined our show, really. Yes. We're ranting.
We have someone who is an absolute expert in the opposite, which is listening. And I say the opposite, but I know that's not correct. So we'll clarify that.
Listening is a simultaneous equation. Mm-hmm. You can't listen without speaking and you can't speak without listening. So once we understand that listening is a simultaneous equation, you can get around the numbers, which I'm sure we're going to get to shortly as well.
Yes.
But please, for KG and for Paul, relax. I'm not judging your listening. I'm the world's most imperfect listener. Why do you think I'm teaching it? If you spoke to my wife, she'd just give you a huge belly laugh and go,
yes.
So people are listening to you talking about listening. Oh, that's so funny. But here's the funny thing, right? So I'm on a quest to create 100 million deep listeners in the world. And guess what? I've had to become better at speaking rather than listening, because if you can't communicate how to listen, you're not going to do it just by listening. So that's my biggest learning so far on this journey. I've had to become a much better storyteller. I've had to become much better at lining up stories with statistics. I've had to learn how to use metaphors in an effective way. And when it comes to drinking wine, we got reds and whites. We got fruities and darks. Yep. We've got heavies and lights. Mm. We've got aftertones. We've got vanilla oak undertones. We've got all this language to talk about a really abstract thing. But when it comes to listening, we don't have the palate to be able to spread our listening across. So that's one of the things I'd love to do when we go on this journey, creating 100 million deep listeners in the world, just create a common language, because everybody thinks they're a better listener than what they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, KG, did you hear what I did there with the whole metaphor language wine thing?
Trust me, I'm
learning from the master.
I was like, wow, did he just do that?
He did that.
He pulled it into the whole thing, this whole thing.
It's fantastic.
I love it. So, yeah. I can tell he is definitely the guru. Don't let him fool you guys. He is the one. And
well, before we elevate you too high there, Oscar, it'd be great to just get a bit of a background. You mentioned, yeah, you were on the quest to create 100 million deep listeners.
That's a lot of listeners.
That's a lot of listeners.
Nah, it's only 3% of the Earth's population.
Sure.
Okay.
But rather than focusing on the number, I'm really curious about how you would define it as a quest. What is it about this journey of creating 100 million listeners that you would consider quest-like?
Quest-worthy? Quest again?
No. Okay. Questy.
Forget what I just said.
Quest-like. So I'm going to talk to you about the Arc Wizard of Quests, who's Dr. Jason Fox shortly. Oh, yes. So hold that thought.
Okay.
But what matters more is, where did it start? So I want to zoom you in, no pun intended, into a meeting room in North Ryde in Sydney, Australia in 2008, around April. I know it was April the 14th, actually, because there was a bushfire at the time not too far from the building. And we were doing a video conference in the morning between Sydney, Seattle and Singapore. It was a 90-minute budget setting meeting for the budget that would kick off in July. And I was in the Microsoft subsidiary as a marketing director. Yep. And if I was doing my job right, I would get the smallest budget possible, overperform, and people would get to keep their jobs. A lot of people think it's about the bonus. But honestly, when you get to those positions, it's about making sure you can sustain the people and the roles they're in. And it was, as you can imagine, it's quite a heated, high ego environment where you've got global leaders, regional leaders, local leaders, all fiercely debating the numbers. And at the 20-minute mark, the vice president of our local Australian business looked me straight in the eye and said, "Oscar, stay behind. I need to see you immediately after this meeting." And in that moment, all I could do was figure out, how many weeks of cash have I got left?
You think your number's up, right? You're like, oh,
right? So
what is this?
I figured I'd have about 8 weeks of cash before I'd kind of have a problem. The meeting actually finished early. It was a 90-minute meeting, finished at the 70-minute mark. And Tracy said to me, "Oscar, please close the door when everybody leaves." So my execution had been brought forward by 20 minutes. And as I closed the door, she said to me, "You have no idea what you did at the 20-minute mark, do you?" So in my head, what I heard was, I'm getting fired. I have 8 weeks cash in the bank account and I have no idea why I'm getting fired. She asked me to sit down next to her and she said something that was quite profound. She said, "If you could code the way you listen, you could change the world." And in that moment of absolute profound insight, the only thing that was going through my head was, "Woo-hoo-hoo, I haven't been fired.
I made it through." Yes.
As I put all that money back into the bank account,
yes,
that I'd thrown out the door, I went, "Wow, phew, dodged a bullet there." Unfortunately, what had happened is my budget line went up 32% in that meeting. And all I could say to Tracy, rather than, "Woohoo, you haven't fired me," I said, "Tracy, do you mean code or code code?" She said, "Oscar, we work in Microsoft. I mean code." And
that means
put it into software.
Yeah.
Well, the minute I stepped out of that door, I never thought a single thought about what Tracy said, apart from I have a 32% increase in my budget line. And 2 weeks later, the opposite happened. 2 weeks later, the local CFO, Brian, was having a meeting that he was hosting to put all these budgets around all the different locations in Australia. And Brian approached me and he said, "Would you mind auditing my listening during the budget meeting?" Oh, said Brian, have you been talking to Tracy with all this listening caper? I got a 32% increase in my budget line. I was holding the biggest budget line for Microsoft at the time. So it was a big chunk of change. He said, look, Oscar, I'm not promising you I'm going to reduce the budget, but please come and audit my listening because I need help. And I'll promise you if you help me, I'll help you with your budget line. Now, for the first time in my life, I had to sit down and code how somebody else listened, and it was fascinating. But now, wind the clock forward to 2018, and I'm speaking to Kevin in Atlanta on his podcast. And at the end of the show, I said to him, you know, this quest for a million deep listeners in the world is huge. He says, Oscar, a million? Are you joking? He said, that's not even 1% of the Earth's population. He said, even McDonald's grew faster by opening more outlets. So you just got to think about where are the more outlets you can grow to and how are you going to do 100 million? He said, because Malcolm Gladwell says the tipping point for any movement in a population is about 3% of the population. So if you can get 3% of the Earth's population, you can make some really substantial changes. You can honor what Tracy said, because I don't think it means code software only. Code could mean a book. Code could mean cards. Code could mean a course. There's a whole bunch of coding you could do. Now, I was lucky enough to meet the Arc Wizard of Quests, who's written the book, How to Lead a Quest, Dr. Jason Fox.
It's a great book.
And Jason is very clear that quests have no end. There's two kinds of games that people play. Finite games, where it's defined by some set of rules and it has a finishing time, and infinite games. They have no finite finish time. Do I think I'm going to get to 100 million deep listeners in the world? It doesn't matter. As long as I show up with an intention that 100 million is what I'm trying to do. So in anything that I do now, since Kevin challenged me from Atlanta, is how do I do something that for one unit of my time, there is a longer term impact than just that conversation. Podcasts are a great way to do that because you never know who's listening. So there's the story.
Wow. Fantastic. And so I think you got your answer, man.
Yeah, kind of. But let's spin off into other questions.
Oh, that was a slam dunk. What are you talking about?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Oscar, just on that number, 100 million, how many do you think you've got?
We're about 5.7, 5.75, something like that. And we measure that based on who's taken the quiz, who's listened to podcasts, what media have I been on, things like that. So it's a incredibly imprecise number,
sure,
but directionally it has a gravitational pull to get me to ask my podcast editor, my admin, the clients I work with. I always ask this question: could you give me one piece of advice if you were me to get to 100 million sooner? So I'm going to ask you that, both of you, so you're going to have a bit of think time. How would you give me a way to think about 100 million quicker? Because for me, what I've learned on this quest is the more I research listening, the more I talk about the topic, the more I teach groups about the topic, the more I try and code it into software, into online courses, into the next book, the less I know.
You discover.
So it is a completely paradoxical quest. Because the way for me to get to 100 million faster is to speak more.
Counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of leaders probably want to hold on to that duality to go, you know, sometimes the opposite of what you're doing may be the way you need to approach it if you're open to it in the work that you do. So back to my question. Paul first and then KG second.
Sure. Oh, is this enough think time? I thought I'd need more think time.
Oh, yeah, that's more than enough.
You got this. Come on.
Okay, my first response is, I don't know. My second response might be, don't focus on the number. Because, as you mentioned, if a quest is about the infinite game, then a number doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter to me.
No.
They're the only people who worry about kind of tracking that number is my admin. It's kind of
sure.
keeps chasing me. But what I want to do, for those of you listening, I want to highlight the 125-900 rule, part of the neuroscience of listening. So what Paul just did is You speak at 125 words a minute. You can think at 900. So Paul's first response is, I don't know, which is typically the first response you're going to get from somebody when you get to the first 125 words. But wait long enough for the next 125 and the next 125, and you're going to start to delayer their thinking. A deep listener, your job is not to understand more of what they say. A deep listener's job is to help the speaker make sense of what they're thinking. That's the big difference. Mm. So active listeners listen to what people say, and deep listeners listen to what people don't say. Paul's had a little longer to think about it, right?
Yes.
What other advice would you provide for me to think about this?
We're going to edit the silence out, are
we? No, we're going to leave this because I think it's part of the listening process.
It is. Well, I think part of a way to think about it might be to actually, Oscar, can you reframe the question?
Sure. I'm on a quest to create 100 million deep listeners in the world. What's one insight from your background that could help get there quicker?
I would think about pitching a show, pitching a TV show, some form of reality show that incorporated the act of listening and somehow gamified it so that when people, you know, were able to, you know, make it a quest. It's a show about a quest, and the quest is about listening, and somehow there's some form of reward at the end of that quest.
And there you go, where Paul started and where he finished were two completely different places. But did you notice that he prefaced by saying, I think, on the third round? He didn't say, I feel. He didn't say, I see. But he said, I think. And that'll give you a little insight into the way he expresses his worldview, which we're going to come back to a little later on. Wow. KG, we've given you enough think time.
You have
a
lot of think such time. I've had such a long time now.
You were put on the spot. And, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to be interesting because I was struggling inside. I was thinking, do I fill the quiet space with a comment? I just wanted to, and I was like, don't fill that space. But, so it's going to be interesting to see how this translates. But my before you started with your thinking, my first thing was the way I would approach it is somehow tap into the youth, a younger demographic, because I think that our explanation makes perfect sense to people who are, you know, kind of our age, yeah. Right? It makes all sense. But when you say the same things, like I say to my son, the things that I'm doing, he comes up with something that is totally not what I intended, but it makes sense to his generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you want to get to that number faster, it is almost using the youth around us, and I won't say just you, but around us, to help spread the message in the ways that they interpret what we're going to be talking about, because they're so good at it, and we don't quite speak the same language. We want to, we think we are, but I think first thing, somehow work with the youth to reach each other instead of you having to multiply yourself to do that speaking, have them spread the word for you. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't help you because I haven't given you the plan, but that's the
start. Reminds me of something else. I have a question, Oscar. As KG was speaking and I was thinking about his idea, it sparked another idea. Now, what would you call that process where the conversation becomes a creative process in the listening and in the processing? What place does that have in your understanding and your framework?
There's something we talk to consistently when we're working with any group, that the most potent listening happens across the group, not from the host. And if you are humble enough, comfortable enough, open enough, honorable enough to go, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to 100 million, but boy, I'm willing to listen. Now, I call this the washing machine process, by the way. It's a very complex scientific term. when you think about the clothes washing machine we all have in our house. Now, KG, you a front loader or a top loader, side loader? Where does your...
I'm front loader and I'm comfortable.
Front loader. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And Paul? We're getting to know you.
Yes.
We're also
Paul,
front,
where are you?
Front loader, but that's not a hill I'm going to die on.
Okay. Well, here's the point about front loaders versus top loaders. Either way, they have something in common. They have a sudsy, really opaque, washing dirty, moving left to right, agitated cycle. And then they have a spin cycle. Clean water cleans it all out. And this is what happens in our mind. We have this sudsy process going on. It's agitating the idea. And the spin cycle is when we speak. Okay. Now, the way we think about an idea versus the way we articulate the idea through speech is completely different. We know this because of fMRI machines. These are machines that measure which part of the brain is activated when you're thinking about a problem versus the process of talking it out loud. And what we've just experienced as we were just talking through there is we're building the idea now. It's a whole group of ingredients that are coming together like a beautiful curry. Every curry is unique and different, and every meeting is as unique as that curry because they have salty bits, they have spicy bits, they have heavy bits, they have flavorsome bits, and they have bits that have stuck to the bottom of the pan and they're burnt, right? That's what meetings are like. So the process we're going through right now where we're building on the idea is... Again, when Paul, you talk about it as an idea, whereas KG's talking about it in the context of how he thinks about relationships. Yeah. So we're thinking about the idea and expressing it in a totally different way. So what I was curious about, KG, if your son was on this call right now, what would he say to me?
He'd say, "I don't get it." And then you'd be saying, "But what part?" And he'd go, "I don't know. It just doesn't make sense." And then you'd say, "But what part?" And I go on and on. And
yeah.
On.
Whereas I'd adjust it a little bit and go, just play the game with me. Is he into music, movies, computer games, sport? What's his thing?
Top two, computer games and sport.
Computer games and sport. All right. Let's pick the sport.
Basketball.
Okay. So I'd say to your son, "What position am I playing on the court and what position do I need to move to achieve this goal?"
I don't know what he'd say, but he would have a smart comment.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think I got to move from a power forward to a point guard or a coach is my suspicion. Okay. So play along.
Yeah.
Which one of those two should I move to?
I think maybe a power forward.
Okay. If I was a power forward, what's one thing I'd need to adjust in my game?
You'd need to... be a little more agile.
Okay. And when I'm more agile, what's one thing I could do to move right now? What's one thing, one little tip you'd give me right now?
I'd say work on your dribble so that it's nice and quick.
Yep.
And then you can still use your powered forward, you know, prowess when you need to, but being able to handle that dribble.
Yeah. So what did you notice about how I accessed your son's thinking as opposed to asking the next question?
No, you did much better than I do, which is what it felt like is that you were actually trying to figure out him, you know, the personality, what makes him tick before any of the other stuff.
And the listener's job is not to make sense of what they're saying. The listener's job is to help them make sense of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Now, I have realized that going through that conversation with your son is I need to adopt the position of either the coach or assistant coach in my thinking about it rather than being a player.
Mm. Okay.
Very insightful.
Yeah.
Thank your son for me.
I will. This is going to be good. He'll really enjoy this. He's going to actually, you know, like this episode. I'm sure of it. Actually,
that's fantastic. I mean, I didn't understand a thing
that we just said
that you were talking. But what I did notice was that there was a sense of something became grounded in the conversation. Something, it's like you just felt something thud.
Yeah,
not in a bad way. Just kind of bang. Oh, and all of a sudden there was some solid ground in that in between space.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense, Oscar. That's what it felt like to me.
Mm. Now, notice Paul then said what it felt like to him when he couldn't actually put his finger on the idea.
Yeah.
Now, while you're listening to us, are you listening at that level? Because this is where deep listeners are listening, not just to the surface stuff we're talking about. So, Paul, can we just play with feel versus think for you?
Sure.
I sense you can access both equally. But in the workplace, which one are you more comfortable with?
Think. Think would probably be my go-to.
Yeah. And for this conversation between think and feel, which one do you think is more productive for us on this quest together, the three of us? We're, you know, we're Bilbo Baggins and all those people going for the for the big quest, you know?
Right, okay.
Is it think or feel? Or is it see?
I have problems with dichotomy. I like both. Or if you've given me a third, I like all three. I think, I feel, and I see all have their place, surely.
So can we explore all three?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you see when you see 100 million deep listeners?
Actually, picture an atlas, and I can, and in that atlas, I spread out in front of the on the table are all the countries of the world, the globe flattened out on the table, and I can see, you know, people inhabiting various lands, various places, various territories, and they're all listening.
And what's different?
It's quieter.
And what do you see when it's quieter?
You see, well, I see stillness. I see people looking at each other. I see people, I don't know, nodding. I see less frantic energy or less movement. I see more stillness.
KG, what do you see on Paul's map?
It's interesting because I was seeing kind of the opposite. I was actually seeing more conversation, you know, almost, versus the stillness. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And I almost pictured the conversation being not just one-on-one, but almost bouncing, if you were to imagine an animation, two people talking, and then that multiplying until to four people, and then six people, and then eight people. That's kind of the way I saw it, which was an expansion over and over, but started with the conversation between two.
And then a factorial expansion.
Yeah, an expansion.
What did you just notice while you're listening to that, Paul?
I could see the multiplication. I could see the map being populated.
Yeah.
This is what happening when you're listening a little bit deeper. Not always in the workplace do we have conversations that are just going to take a little bit longer at the beginning so we can go faster a little later on. We're all building the foundations here so that we can launch something really fast. And I'm happy to sow seeds that flourish many years, decades, and centuries into the future. I'm often reminded of a 17th century group of English businessmen who wanted to build a cathedral. But before they did, they decided to plant oak trees there as well so that when the cathedral needed repair, there would be wood available for them as well. And so that was one of my first insights into sustainability as a quest as well. So sometimes you've got to be a little bit patient and build stronger foundations and not go fast.
What do you see when you see 100 million deep listeners?
Interestingly, I see people speaking their own language and being understood. I'm visualizing someone in Portugal talking to somebody in Japan, and they're both speaking in their home languages, but they can completely understand each other.
Right. So that goes to one of your principles, that hearing is not the same as listening. Can you expand a little bit on that and how in that tableau you've just painted, how that might work?
Well, I always say the difference between hearing and listening is action. And we've all worked for organizations that do relentless surveying of staff and do nothing with the information. What just happened there, KG?
I'm just saying.
You had a bit of a visceral reaction there.
Like, oh, I want to raise my hand. So, yes, I've seen
those. Were you the recipient of the survey, or were you creating the survey?
Oh, I think a little of both, right? Yeah, I think that we've had many experiences like that where we get lots of information. We have a phenomenal amount of information that we could do something with, but quite often we fall short in our either want or will to take action on the things that we've heard from the people who you ask the question of, right? And so, yeah, but it does, it strikes something in me because I don't like that. I want to go out and get the information, but it should be always with the purposeful intent to do something with it. Even if it's just small and incremental, we know that we've done something with it. I want to show you that there's action, you know, done based on your feedback. That's the process, right? We keep doing these little things together. So sorry, I'll step down.
Preacher, brother, preacher, because, you know, at the end of the day, here's something that's fundamentally flawed about employee engagement surveys. They're all optimized for the organization and not the person answering the question. And they're also optimized to standardize results across industries, across companies in the same industries. And if you talk to anthropologists, people who study cultures professionally, they would say that methodology is completely nuts and you wouldn't get past the first term in a university anthropology course if you proposed that as a methodology to look at organizational cultures. When I spoke to Michael Henderson, who does this professionally, he's a professional anthropologist, he said to me, unless the employees are involved in designing the questions, you don't know what they mean by their answers. Even if it's a numeric response, somebody who gives an 8 and somebody gives a 6, the score may be identical, but just one's a harder marker. And I think when it comes to those things that an organization, if they just ask one question per year that the staff asked and just implemented that, you would never have to put balloons out and posters and have cakes and cupcakes to encourage people and send more emails to get more people to finish the engagement survey. People would know I had input into the question, therefore I have something at risk that I want to answer it. And as a result, the system will change. And back to your question, I think in 2015, I was doing this workshop in Melbourne in this really narrow, poorly lit boardroom that, have you ever been in a boardroom where it's got a whiteboard marker and there's black dust that hasn't been cleaned off the ledge from wiping the whiteboard marker, black, blue, green, and it just turns into this black dust that, anyway, I digress. There was 15 people in this meeting and it's 5-2, 5-1. The reason I know it's 5-1 is because the CEO is doing this on the top of the table and pointing to his watch. And the exercise we've been going through is, what is this organization as an animal right now? What is it? And of everybody, of 14 out of the 15 people have all said an eagle, an osprey, and some kind of fast-moving bird of something or other. And there was one person who hadn't spoken. And I don't know if the CEO was hangry, but he just kept looking at me and kept pointing the watch. And I moved over to Lynn. And Lynn's a card-carrying member of the introvert community. How do you know the difference between a card-carrying member of an introvert and the extrovert community? If you say, put your hand up if you're an introvert. So the first thing you have to do is tell the extroverts to sit down because you didn't say stand up. So the extroverts are over there. Now, the ambiverts will put their hands up, but a card-carrying member of the introvert community will never disclose they're an introvert. So there's a little clue for all of us who work with introverts. Yeah. Never cold call on them either. Don't ask them, what do you think about that, Lynn? Or you won't get the answer. But if you ask them at a thematic level to represent what's missing from the group or what the theme is that's useful to the group, they'll give you a very insightful response with very few words. Now, remember, this group is waiting for lunch. It's now 1 o'clock and I'm asking Lynn, what animal? And she said, I thought it was obvious. I thought we were a snake. In that moment, you could cut the tension with a knife. It was kind of like dripping from the air conditioning ducts. And all of a sudden, I felt the shoulders of every other man in the room, because they were all men, apart from Lynn. Now, Lynn's from finance on the leadership team. Now, rather than say anything else, I just extended my arm out towards her in a gesture to say, tell me more. And she said, a snake sheds its skin every season. We have got so many practices that are seasons old and haven't adapted to what our customers need and what our staff need. if we could adapt like a snake and shed our skin every season, we'd be able to face the market in a way that would help us to grow. Now, the room energy changed completely and everybody started asking Lynn questions. Now, what you don't know about Lynn, she's not from a Western culture. So when you say snake in the West, Paul, KG, what do you think of when I say snake?
Oh, I'm from Texas, so it's all bad. I'm going to... I want to kill that snake. That's what I want to do, and make a belt buckle out of it or some boots.
Oh, I see. Nice. So there's a functional purpose. It is. Right. Okay.
And for you, Paul?
Culturally, I always think of the Jungle Book.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
That's a nasty, nasty snake. That's how I think Western culture seems to think of the snake, as something slithering and, you know.
And whether in the West you're from Judaic or you're whether from a Christian background, the origin story of the actual Bible is about a snake tempting somebody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So snakes
bad news.
Are
bad news.
Not a good start. Yeah.
So snakes are negative, they're sneaky, they're terrible, right? Whereas Lynn, who's from China, they have a completely different perspective on snakes.
Mm.
Snakes have a great deal of wisdom, a great deal of agility. There's a whole different layering there. Now, the funny part of this story is nobody ate a single shred of food that came in at 1 o'clock on those sandwich boards that are cut up into little triangles till 35 minutes past the hour, because everybody was too engaged in the snake story. Now, this company ended up using snakes as an internal metaphor. They put it in sales presentations. They explained how they evolve for their customers. And from that point on, that organization grew faster than its overseas competitors. Now, Paul, back to your question, what's the difference between hearing and listening? Hearing would have been just listening to people drone on about eagles and osprey and seagulls and a whole bunch of groupthink. But listening to what wasn't said in the room, I assume Lynn was often ignored, but she had something really powerful and transformational for the room to listen to, and that company had a big step change in its success. So when we think about listening, you've got to be careful not just to listen to what people say, but more importantly, what they don't say, whether that's in a group or individual setting as well, because it's back to that neuroscience that we talked about earlier on, 125 words per minute. You speak at 900 words a minute you think at. So extroverts speak to process their thinking, whereas introverts will process their thinking and then synthesize their thinking. So they'll say things very short but very precise. So back to the point I made earlier on, when it comes to introverts, listen like this. Rather than say, what do you think about that, Lynn? What are you noticing when not discussing Lynn? Where are the themes that we should explore a little deeper? Lynn, if you were to summarize this conversation right now, how would you summarize it for us? And that's the way you can bring people who are introverts into the conversation just a little bit better and more productively.
Join us on our next episode as we continue this deep listening conversation with Oscar Trimboli.
That's it for our show today. If you like what we do, if we like our conversations, if you want to hear more about what we do, please rate us. Review us, subscribe, tell your friend, your family, your enemies, tell everybody you know. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. If there's any particular leadership topic that you'd like to hear about or want us to explore, please let us know. We'd really appreciate that. And come back next time.